All right, we're on, good, and recording. Okay. It is 10 a.m. on Tuesday, July 12th, 2022. We are here in 61 South Main, Suite 303 in Farmington, Utah, to commence our commission meeting. We'll begin with the opening, the Pledge of Allegiance, and ask our clerk auditor, Curtis Koch, to lead us in the pledge. All right, moving down on the agenda items, we'll right into public comment. If there's anybody from the public that would like to come forward and make a public comment, we'd ask you to please come forward, state your name, where you're from. Seeing none, we'll move on to our Board of Canvass for the 2022 primary election results. And then we do need to open up a public hearing. No?
Motion we open.
Oh, we need a recess into Board of Canvass. Got
it. I'd make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Good morning, commissioners. Today is kind of that culmination of months worth of work here at the county level as we finish up our primary election and certify the results. I've provided each of you a copy of the election results. The chair does have some additional documents that I'll just go through for the record so that you're aware of this. With this Canvass certification, you have a pre-election equipment logic and accuracy audit report. This is a new document that Davis County implemented this year as we continue to strive and look for new ways in which we can add transparency and accessibility into our election system. Now, the pre-election logic and accuracy test has always taken place, but this is the first time that we've provided a document that identifies the date that that took place, how many ballots were reviewed and processed, and also certifies that there were no differences in what was expected with the results of those. So that document is included with the Canvass report. Following that, you have the summary of the official results. You'll see that we had just over 57,000 voters participate in our primary election. That's about a little over 40% of the eligible voters participated in our primary election. Going through the election results, for U.S. Senate, Mike Lee received 55.01%, would be the highest vote getter for Davis County. In Representative District 1, Blake D. Moore with 57.96%. House District 2, Chris Stewart with 68.01%. State Senate District 5, Ann Milner with 50.40%. Keep in mind that each of those races are multi-county races, so these are only the results for Davis County. Starting with the with Senate District 6, Jerry Stevenson, 61.29%. House 11, Katie Hall, 70.27%. That is also a multi-county race. House District 18, Paul Cutler, 60.22%. House 19, Raymond Ward, 59.44%. House 20, Melissa Garf Ballard, 65.13%. State School Board District 4, Leanne Wood, 51.25%. And that is a multi-county race. Commission Seat A, Bob J. Stevenson, 68.47%. Commission Seat B, Lorene Minor Kamalu, 58.63%. County Auditor, Curtis Koch, 68.34%. County Clerk, Brian McKenzie, 62.85%. Davis School Board District 3. On these races, the top two vote getters will move on to the general election. So Julie Powell at 41.78% and Jennifer Savage at 30.26%. Davis School Board District 6, Kristen Hogan, 41.83%, and Jenny Stoker, 29.79%. Davis School Board District 7, Emily Clark Price, 43.77%, and Wendy Leichert at 29.40%. Following the summary report, you'll see a report of total ballots not counted, along with the reasons why. We had a total of 980 ballots not counted. The majority of those were because they arrived too late.
Question on this. So you have mentioned there's a line item for deceased. Are they ballots got sent out to somebody that passed away, or they died in process?
It could be either one of those options. I believe on these ones, and I'll refer to Lori Schies, who is here. She heads up that. Lori, do you have a specific answer on those ballots, if they were...
Oh, saying that they had deceased. Okay. Got it.
So for the record...
I was going to say, are we having the dead vote here? There's 10 of them?
Yeah, for the record, so we can hear that answer.
Right.
Those were ballots that were mailed out, and members of the household returned those ballots to us, indicating that the voter had deceased.
Had been deceased.
And that doesn't happen very often, but on occasion, because of timing, we send our mailers or our files off to our print house anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks before they have to mail out. So that's about 5 to 6 weeks before the election.
Okay.
And unfortunately, yes, people don't stop dying just because we're sending ballots out.
Got it.
So, okay. Let's see here. The following document, and Commissioner Elliott will have this, is the audit summary report. So every election, we're required to conduct a post-election audit. And what happens with that audit is we provide a list of our ballot batches to the Lieutenant Governor's office. They provide us a list of batches that we are required to audit. It equals 1% or 1,000 ballots, whichever is less. For this election, 577 ballots were audited, and 585 signatures were audited. Now, what Davis County did to enhance this post-election audit is we now invite and require a member of the Board of Canvass to attend that audit. Commissioner Elliott was willing to join us on that day and observe that audit process. In addition, this audit was not conducted by county clerk staff, but rather it was conducted by citizen auditors. So these were people, as you recall, you appointed a number of poll workers to serve as election auditors. They conducted the audit. There were no differences between the cast vote record and the votes cast on the ballots. There were no differences in the signature verification, and there were no other discrepancies identified during that audit process. With that, I'll stop talking now.
Commissioners, can I just add a point as well? I want to give special recognition to the staff in the clerk's office. Due to the nature of the election, there had to be a degree of separation from the leadership in our office. And our staff is amazing. We really appreciate everything that they did and the level of integrity in which they conducted this election. So thank you, and look forward to being able to be more engaged in the future.
To approve this Board of Canvass in?
We are requesting that you accept the report as provided by the Clerk Auditor's Office and declare these the official results of Davis County.
So moved.
Before I vote, just this is like one of the things that makes America the most wonderful place on earth is our elections. So thank you so much. What a great amount of good work. And I will second that motion.
I have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And then need the motion to go back into commission.
I move that we reconvene our commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Real quick, back to about comments, because somebody from the congressional office showed. Rhonda, do you need to take any time? Okay.
Well, you said 1 minute, which...
We'll try.
You have three.
I'm Rhonda Perks. I'm here representing Congressman Chris Stewart. Just a couple of small updates. I wanted to, last time I was here, I failed to mention that the congressman had been on an assignment in Saudi Arabia, spent the good portion of a week there in early June. And that was a great trip. That was that's an international relationship that he has particular interest in, and is interested in, you know, developing that a little bit more in a positive direction. So that was great. Next month, August 5th, is the Security Summit. I hope to see some of you there. We have a great lineup. And in fact, Princess Rima from Saudi Arabia is going to be kind of the headline guest. Congressman Curtis will also be speaking, as well as a couple of other congressional colleagues of the congressman will be there. So that should be a great morning, August 5th. We are starting 8:30 this year, so it's a little bit earlier than normal. We, I think, have a meeting that first week in August with most of you as well. The congressman's going to be coming and just taking a look at the courthouse renovations. So as always, we are, you know, always trying to be plugged into what's going in Davis County. I know that their fire season has kind of come in with a vengeance. He's had that on his mind and wanted me to make sure that everyone gives special recognition to first responders, South Davis Metro Fire, and we've been in contact with them as well. So thanks for everything.
All right, moving down to our next action items. We have to go into our budget hearings. It looks like we need to open a public hearing again for that, correct? Okay. Look for a motion to open a public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Curtis.
Yeah, commissioners, you have for this budget opening a variety of items. I can't see. Is it up on the screen? All right. I will walk through each of these items. I'll omit the account number, but highlight what the changes are. So in General Fund 10, in Animal Control, they've received a grant by Best Friends Society for $400. And so there is an offsetting expense for that $400 in travel, education, and training. They've also received a miscellaneous grant for $725, and so there's an offset of expense for that same revenue of $725. In human resources, we are increasing under employee awards their expense line item for $26,000. That is offset with reducing non-departmental contingency by $26,000. In non-departmental as well, with the certification of tax rates, we are now truing up the certified tax rate revenue, and so there's an increase in current year property tax of $141,899 in countywide or current year assessing and collecting additional revenue of $47,369. In Fund 15, we received a new hypertension and food pantry contract with revenues of $22,125. You have an offsetting expense in miscellaneous supplies for the identical amount. Truing up the certified tax rate, an increase in the projected budget of property taxes of $17,625. We've also received additional WIC funding of $60,444 with two offsetting expenses totaling that same amount for payroll and building improvements. Payroll will be $35,444 with building improvements being $25,000. In Fund 17, Children's Justice Center, in the June 21st budget meeting, it was approved to increase the CJC forensic interview specialist from a part-time merit to a full-time merit, resulting in an increase of $20,444 in expenses with an additional expense of benefits of $22,872. In Fund 19, we have one-time contribution from the CARES Reserve in Fund 45 to Fund 19 of $577,400 to make wage adjustments. And that took place in the April 19th budget meeting. In Fund 23, we are truing up the current year property tax, an additional $24,563. Fund 24, Public Works, we had a rollover project of Holmes Creek Fairfield Road culvert. It was budgeted in 2021 for $390,000. That project was put out to bid this year, so we were rolling that $390,000. We also have increased project costs for that same project of $424,947,000. Truing up the property tax for Fund 24 results in an additional $29,615 in revenue. In Fund 25, Special Service Area, truing up the property tax rate, we're actually decreasing the projected or the budgeted revenues by $13,281. Fund 32, Municipal Building Authority, collection charges, it was $5,000 of expenses were omitted from the 2022 budget. Those go to our annual service fees for trust services and continuing disclosure. Fund 45. In Fund 45, our capital projects for the general fund, we have in construction, our construction account, we are increasing expenses by $2.4 million. This is a reclassification from the state and local fiscal recovery funds due to disqualification by the final rule. We also have FF&E, increasing FF&E in Fund 45 by $50,000 due to the disqualification of SLFRA funds. We are also transferring in expenses of $4,149,232. That's a reimbursement of cash for prior year expenditures on the jail medical wing. And we are transferring out also $577,400. This is is the offset of one-time transfer to Fund 19 for the April 19th wage increases. In golf courses, at Valley View, an increase of equipment due to the need to insert a valve, and in Fund, or at Davis Park, a land improvement, as we've received bids back for the driving range. The project has come in at a higher than anticipated cost. So we are increasing that land improvement by $500,000. In the insurance fund, we have a rollover item from 2021 of operating supplies of $14,228 that needed to be that were not expended in 2021 that needed to be carried over to 2022. Fund 62, email services. We have an increase use and demand for the number of users with our email service, and so we need additional funds in that expense line item for software maintenance of $3,500. We've also are purchasing four additional security cameras that will be installed to monitor ballot drop boxes per state statute, change in state statute of $3,393 with an offset of revenue equal to that amount coming from the state. Fund 63, Buildings and Grounds West, we are canceling the old jail visiting project due to the need to fund a project overrun with our boiler. That is a higher priority at this point. So we are reducing expenses by $500,000, and we are increasing expenses by $245,700 to fund the overrun of the boiler project. In Fund 74, dental insurance accounting standards have changed and require us to separate revenue from expenses in that fund, and so we have dental premiums, our revenues of $800,000 with an offsetting expense of $800,000 as well. Last, in Fund 80, our state and local fiscal recovery fund, we have We are reducing that construction budget by the $2.4 million and the $50,000 referenced up in Fund 45. And that those are the expenses that are being reduced. And then you have the transfer in of $4,149,732 to offset or to reimburse the prior year expenditures on the jail medical wing, thus making Sloughrough whole. So total revenue increase on this budget opening is $5,862,009 with total expenditure increase of $6,753,888, which means we will have a decrease in overall fund balance of $891,879. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have regarding any of those budget changes.
So that leaves us with public comments for the opening of the consideration of the 2022 budget appropriation request. I ask that you come up, state your name and where you're from. So if you have any public comments on this budget opening, please come forward. Okay, seeing none, we'll ask for the motion to close and approvals.
I'll make a motion that we close the public hearing at this time and we approve the budget amendments as presented to us.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Curtis. And we had to have a work session on that. We went through on detail as that as well. So that record is there. All right, moving on to business and action items, community and economic development, Director Kent Anderson. Kent.
Morning, Commission. Kent Anderson, Director, Community and Economic Development. I have one item, and then I also have a guest I'd like to introduce quickly, if you don't mind, but I'll go through the item quickly. Item number one is an approval of a standard service provider agreement with Salt Lake City Express for transportation for the Utah Legislature Davis County Tour, September 23rd and 24th of 2022. Terms payable in the amount of $4,247, beginning 7/12/2022 to 9/30/2022.
Okay. Great, and I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, moving on to facilities. Director Lane.
He's going
to
answer. Oh, do you mind?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to introduce Ryan Steinbeagle. That's here with us. He's our new grant administrator that's going to oversee our community development block grant and the social service block grant, CDBG and SSBG. I know it's been of heightened concern and of interest lately, so we're excited to bring Ryan in. Ryan, why don't you introduce yourself, provide a little bit of your background.
Sure. Good morning, commissioners. First of all, I just want to—I think I've had a chance to meet each of you, albeit briefly—but just want to say that I'm very much looking forward to working with you to help fund and support programs in our community that help Davis County residents. Prior to coming to Davis County, I ran a child abuse prevention nonprofit for 14 years, actually a headquarter here in Farmington called the National Center on Shaken Baby Syndrome. So I know how much these programs mean to the community and to the residents. So just very much looking forward to working with you all, and hopefully we get things running smoothly in the program again. So thank you.
All right, Director Lane Rose.
Morning, Commission. Lane Rose, Facilities Director. Item number two for your approval is a contract with Great Basin Cabinetry Incorporated. This is for additional cabinet and storage space in our WIC office at our Clearfield Health Department. And this is payable in the amount of $9,720. This was just part of that grant with the budget amendment. This will be paid for with the grant money for the WIC. And the terms are 7/12/2022 to 12/31/2022.
So payable in the amount of $19,720. Yep, great. I move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Thanks, Health Director Wayne. Brian Hatch.
What I get for going on vacation, all of these.
Yeah, there's a few.
Brian Hatch, Director of Davis County Health Department. First one here is approval of actually three pass-through funding contracts to Davis School District in the amount of $99,985. The next one to Davis Behavioral Health on behalf of Bountiful and Centerville Communities That Care, payable in the amount of $39,369.04. The next one, Davis Behavioral Health on behalf of North Salt Lake, West Bountiful, and Woods Cross Communities That Care, payable in the amount of $46,814. And the last one being Davis Behavioral Health on behalf of North Davis Communities That Care Coalition, payable in the amount of $54,795.94. Terms of this is 7/12 to 2022, running to 6/30/2023. This is our e-cigarette tax money that the legislature appropriated for programs for addressing youth e-cigarettes, marijuana, and other drugs in Davis County.
That's great.
Next one is an amendment with our tobacco contract with the Utah Department of Health and Human Services. Now that changed. If you didn't know, the merger happened July 1, so now it's Health and Human Services. This is updating our work plan activities and adding additional funding in the amount of $628,043.35 beginning 7/1/2022 to 6/30/2023. The next one's a ratification of a contract with the Utah Department of Environmental Quality for funding and our work plan updating our activities and adding additional for funding in our work plan for fiscal year 23 for environmental services. This is in the amount of $123,708 beginning 7/1/2022 through 6/30/2023. Number six is an amendment with the Utah Department of Health for an increase in funding for our public health crisis response workforce in the amount of $97,425 beginning 6/23/2022 running through 6/30/2023. Number seven is an amendment with the Utah Department of Health for COVID-19 testing activities in K-12 schools. This is extending our termination date and increasing the funding in the amount of $900,000 beginning 7/1/2022 and 7/31/2023. These funds received will be passed through to the Davis School District to fund the K-12 COVID response for next school year starting in August, and some additional filters and stuff that they'll buy for their air filtration they bought for each of the classrooms. So that funding will all pretty much go to the Davis School District when we get those contracts in place. Eight is a approval of a donation of helmets worth $500 to the health department for the Safe Kids Day that we held recently from Intermountain Lake Hospital. The amount was $500 and for that day, in this case beginning 6/22/2022. Nine is an approval of a contract with Utah Legal Services. This is in our senior service program to provide legal education materials and advice for matters as defined in the Older Americans Act in the amount of $10,078 $78 beginning 7/1/2022 running through 6/30/2023. 10 is an amendment with the Utah Department of Human Services for our AAA pass-through, increasing our funding. This is the amount of $2,283,335, and we do have a match of $277,780.39. This is beginning 7/1/2022 to 6/30/2023. And 11 is an amendment with the Utah Department of Human Services for our aging waiver amendment, increasing our funds in the amount of $40,500 beginning 7/1/2022 and running through 6/30/2023. I think that's it.
That was 11.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, Very good. That was a lot. Brian, thank you for that. And I move approval of all of it, 3 through 11.
Second.
All right. I have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Andy Oblad.
Good morning, Commissioner. Neil and Curtis, how you doing? So I need a stool. This is going to take a long time, or a permanent position here. But what I don't have in front of me is a list of it. And so could I get... Yeah, and I'm Andy Oblad. Sorry about that.
Well, Butch is supposed to be here, but, you know, I'll take Andy.
Oh. So, first, I believe on the agenda is a whole bunch of towing contracts. First one is Keystone Towing Incorporated. And I don't know if I should
go through every one of them. Just read them. Yep.
First, Action Towing and Recovery, LLC. 101 Group Incorporated, doing business as 101 Group Towing Service, Bridger Towing LLC, Discount Towing Incorporated. Is this what you had in mind?
Yep.
Okay. Master Towing LLC, the Towing LLC, Fourth Generation Towing LLC, Fast Eddie's Towing LLC, Bauer and Bauer Towing LLC, Hendrickson's Towing and Recovery LLC, Triple L Towing LLC, Summit Towing and Recovery LLC, AW Towing Corp, Winterton Automotive Incorporated number 3, Thunder Towing LLC, Fast Fox Towing LLC, Simple Tow LLC, GNT Towing Incorporated. Terms beginning July 12, 2022 to June 30th, 2023. And then number 13. Is that mine?
Yep, it is yours.
Disaster cleanup, doing business at Serve Pro Bountiful, Liberty Restoration LLC.
This is the board up services rotation contracts. Terms are from July 1st, 2022 to July 12th, 2027. And then number 14, this is the SCRAM program. Approval of the release of liability waiver or rights and participation agreement for the secure continuous remote alcohol monitoring program. Participant 1 and participant 2. The terms are receivable in a varied amount based on tests used and monitoring fees, begins upon final signature, and runs until the participant is no longer under court order to participate in the program. And number 15 is the interlocal corporation agreement for law enforcement services with South Weber City, receivable in the amount of $265,338.40. This is beginning July 1st, 2022 and ending June 30th, 2023. Any questions about those?
I'll make a motion. We approve items 12 through 15 as presented to us.
Second.
All right, a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 I'll make a motion that we go into the Board of Equalization.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Curtis.
Thank you, Commissioners, for your... I apologize. I had this pulled up, and there we go. For your consideration today, under auditor adjustments, under abatements, you have a report recommending denial of one abatement. Under corrections, you have 2 veteran exemption tax abatements for the year 2021 that are recommended. Under treasurer write-offs, you have a June small balance write-off for various items totaling a negative $1.47. And then under assessor adjustments, under corrections, you have assessor-initiated corrections. You have 25 of those totaling $2,712.55. And that completes your property tax register for July 12th, 2022.
I'll make a motion.
Wasn't it $2,712,055?
Yes.
Great. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion. We approve the tax register as presented to us.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Move we reconvene commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Commissioner comments. Commissioner Kamalu.
Oh, my goodness. You're having me go first. Let's see. I know that there were some other festivities. Farmington had a nice festivity this past weekend. Lots of the community out, which is really nice to see gathered. And not sure if there's anything else that I've noticed newsworthy. Nope, I think that'll be it for me.
No comment.
Curtis, Neil?
No comment, thank you.
All right, just to make community aware again, we had a couple of small fires last night in the Centerville Bountiful areas, just some brush fires simultaneously. You know, North Davis was able to get them out pretty quickly, but it is dry out there, and it's going to be even more drier with 100-degree weather, so be careful out there. It's going to be up to 101, 102 out there this week. So the conditions are ripe for fires. As the mountain, we had those spring rains, which we're thankful for, but also the grass is, you know, not even knee-high. It's up to my head high when I go up there hiking. So it's going to be a little hot summer this summer, and so just be careful out there. And this NEA meeting is adjourned. Thank you.